8:35 at listener-supported KGNU. Welcome to the latest installment of our quarterly series of call-in programs on conflict resolution. We try to look at conflicts in our daily life and offer some tips and strategies on how we might deal with them. As always, the phones will be open in a few minutes for your calls, and I hope you're doing well this morning. My name is Sam Fuqua. I'm joined, as always, in the studio by my co-host, Mary Zinn of Zinn Mediation Associates. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, listeners.
Great to see you. Pearl Bell is with us from the Conflict Center. She's been a panelist on this program before. Pearl, it's great to have you back.
Great. Thank you, Sam. I'm really pleased to be here this morning.
Tell us a little bit about the Conflict Center before we get going.
Yeah, so actually, the Conflict Center has been a nonprofit in Denver for about 28 years. We're in Northwest Denver now at our building location, and our mission is to reduce violence. We do that through skill building. So we're educators, and we teach skills like conflict management, anger management, and communication skills, parenting. Give us a call, and we'll sign you up for a class.
At the Conflict Center. Well, our topic this morning is the challenges of anger. Who is in control when anger erupts? How do we manage the anger that we can feel sometimes in our daily lives? One of the places where we can feel that anger is on the road. And we're pleased to have with us from the Colorado State Patrol, Trooper Lewis, to talk a bit this morning about road rage in specific. One of those flashpoints for us in our daily lives sometimes. Trooper Lewis, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, my pleasure.
What's your first name, by the way?
Josh.
Josh, okay. Josh Lewis from the Colorado State Patrol. Let's start with you, Trooper Lewis, because we don't have you for the full hour. How big a problem is road rage in Colorado?
You know, it's a problem, as big a problem as you want to make it, essentially. We are all going to experience it at one point or another, whether it's having been done to us or that we feel towards somebody else. And we can't always control that. We have our emotions, we have our feelings, and we're certainly going to feel them. And that's absolutely fine. It's our reaction and what we do once we feel those things. That's when we start experiencing the issues. A lot of the aspects of many of our crashes are simply as a product of road rage. One of our biggest causal factors is following too closely. So if you're following too closely and all of a sudden they slam on their brakes, whether purposely, maliciously or not, now who's at fault and now who has to take the brunt of that? Well, your insurance company, my insurance company, and all of us who now have to pay higher dividends as a result of it. Ultimately, it's a matter of being in control of yourself. Something happens. If somebody cuts you off, you know, take the moment, breathe. They may not have realized it. Even if they were being a jerk and doing it to you on purpose, doesn't mean you need to retaliate.
Mary Zinn, has that ever happened to you? I'm sure you're a totally composed driver at all times.
Well, actually, yes, I've lost it, but I've come up with some solutions that I think are interesting. What it's happening to me is I make up stories. If I see someone passing, going in and out, and I'm likely to get angry about that, then I make up a story in my head that that person's mother is in the hospital. And they have to get where they're going. And I think, oh, I'm so glad that's not what my day is about. Whatever's going with them, let it go. And let it go with them. So I try to keep my rage down by thinking their situation is worse than mine. And or they'll get to meet Trooper Lewis.
Absolutely.
Right? They are speeding or whatever they're doing will save me. That not that I wouldn't like to meet you out on the road. But if I don't want to meet you to get a ticket.
or to have been in an accident and require assistance.
Absolutely. Or to feel threatened by the other driver. That what do people do when the other person in the accident comes to them in a threatening way? Then what do you do?
You know, and that's certainly a concern as well. I mean, anytime you're in a crash, especially on our highways and freeways of Colorado, we always recommend staying inside of your vehicle because you don't know what's going on around you and other people don't know what's going on around you, especially if it's in a nighttime or a low-light setting. Other people may not realize, hey, there's a car that's crashed or there's somebody wandering around on the highway. We always recommend, even if you don't feel injured, take a moment, sit in your vehicle, assess the situation before you step out into it. And that may be assessing the situation of, is this other driver getting out ready to do something against me because they perceived or there was some type of slight during on the roadway. Take that moment, breathe, give it a moment before you react, ultimately.
Will the other driver think that I don't, I mean, if I stay in my car is that going to escalate their anger?
And it can. I mean, it's person to person, unfortunately. I can't give you a straight black and white answer of absolutely do this, never do this. It changes from situation to situation, unfortunately. And that's why if you can take a moment and take a step back, look at everything and assess it, and then move on from there. Determine, okay, is this person going to be a threat to me, or can I actually get out of my vehicle?
I so much appreciate hearing you say repeatedly, take a moment. And we used to talk about count to 10. So is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Slow it down. Don't do anything until you've had time to think about it.
You know, and I don't know if I should relate this myself. I've been in a car crash before on my way to the State Patrol Academy, as a matter of fact. Probably
well
shouldn't
done.
Reveal that. But and it was one of these things where I wanted to jump out. I wanted to get out and see what was going on. Is everybody okay? What's happening? And fortunately, everybody was fine. It was just the vehicles that were damaged. And the fact was, I was still on a highway, and there were still vehicles all around me, and me stepping out of it could have been the most dangerous thing that happened to me, even with the crash having occurred. So the biggest thing, take the moment, assess, see what's going on before you take action.
That's Trooper Josh Lewis from the Colorado State Patrol. We're talking about road rage during the first segment of our conflict resolution call-in program this morning. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call on the studio line, 303-442-4242. That's 303-442-4242. Have you ever had to deal with anger when you got behind the wheel or the anger of another driver? We invite you to join the conversation, 303-442-4242. Pearl Bell from the Conflict Center, is this an area that people get into in your work?
Absolutely. We have a lot of people who come in for different reasons to the conflict center. Maybe they're having a fight with their partner or at work or something, but a lot of people have common issues with road rage. It seems that like when you start talking about driving and especially the traffic in Colorado and the Front Range, we get a little heated. We get a little, oh my gosh, this story that happened to me last week. And yeah, I was following that down. I was on 36 and here's what happened. And It definitely hits home for a lot of our clients.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes think, Trooper Lewis, when I'm driving on the interstate and, you know, I'm in the left lane and I'm going the speed limit or maybe a little over and people come zooming up behind me on my bumper, I see there's someone in the right lane. I kind of want to get by them, but then the person behind me is getting angry because I'm not letting them over. And it's, I don't know if it's so much anger as kind of a confusion on how to, I don't want to make this into a like rules of the road driving show, but
no,
that's kind of what happens to me. Is that making sense?
Sure, absolutely. The left lane law in Colorado is one of the biggest complaints that we get of in terms of trying to enforce it. We're absolutely out there. If you're not familiar with it, left lane is, you basically shouldn't be in the left lane unless you're actively passing or it's unsafe to be out of it. So if you're being passed on the right, well, then you're basically doing something wrong. And people hate that. I'm supposed to be passing. I'm supposed to be in this lane, getting past you. And they complain to us. And we understand. The fact is, that's not a huge causal factor for crashes, especially when it comes to injury and fatal crashes in the state of Colorado. We're still dealing with speeding, and drugs and alcohol and inattentive to driving is the main causal factors. Not being in the correct lane doesn't rank very highly on that list. Nevertheless, it leads to those road rage incidents. It then leads to the tailgating that causes crashes, that cause backups, and that can cause injuries. And it's just another factor within all of it. Yeah, if you can be out of the left lane, be out of the left lane. We understand. We try to enforce it, but obviously there are other priorities that we're going to focus on. And just because somebody's in there doesn't mean you need to go zipping around. Those are the causal factors that we're looking for. Somebody saying, you're not supposed to be here, let me change lanes quickly, and hey, maybe I can cut you off when I get back over. Now we're seeing the problem.
Let's go to the phones. We have our first caller. This is Fata from Boulder. Hi, Fata, you're on the air.
Good morning. I've been listening to your conversation about road rage, okay? And I have a comment, and I'll give a couple of examples. I'll be brief and to the point. My take is, on any subject in general, the onus is always put on the individual. The system is always perfect, is always can do no wrong, okay? I, for one, have called the city of Boulder repeatedly about adjusting their traffic lights. They give me some lip service and goes away. Let me give you an example. Example number one, the planning and the development that has been happening over the past 2 years around the intersection of 30th and Pearl Street. Okay, they have thousands of residential units. They have a lot of dense office buildings there. And Google is coming now with 5,000 plus employees, and the roads are still the same. All they did on Pearl Street, east of 30th, expanded it to probably 8 inches each side. That's example number one. Now imagine when these buildings are not fully occupied now, give it 3 years from now, when they are fully occupied, and I am not a pessimist or negative about things, but we'll compare notes about the number of accidents that's going to be there. Inadequate planning like this, in my mind, leads to nothing but raising the temperature of people, friction, a.k.a. road rage.
Well, thank you, Fata. We appreciate your comment.
And the same example, and I'll finish in 10 seconds, the same example on what they have done lately on Folsom Street. They're still leaving parking lots. They could have done away with the parking on the side of the road to allow more space. In one block, about three times in one block between Canyon and Pearl, it took about 12 minutes to get through.
Fata, thank you for raising those issues, and we'll get our panelists to respond.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
303-442-4242 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. We're talking about anger that can erupt daily, and some of it when we're behind the wheel of a car. 303-442-4242. So Fata is pointing to some policy decisions, transportation flow decisions in the city of Boulder that are clearly irritating him. And Trooper Lewis, that irritation could come out when you're driving your car, right? Like, so Mary lives in Denver. She may not be familiar with this issue, but we've altered the ratio of bike lane to car lane on a street called Folsom, a major north-south artery, and that has upset some people.
And I'm not familiar with the area as well, living in a different part, but you know, it comes down, I do a lot of different safety presentations. What I like to tell people is, despite what you may think, how you were raised, maybe what you heard in public education, you're not special. You are not a unique individual snowflake. And unfortunately, people hate to hear that, because whenever I say, well, don't you want equality? Don't you want to be the exact same thing as everybody else? Everybody gets treated the same in the eyes of the law. They say, absolutely, we totally want that, 100%. And to which I replied, then why is it 90% of people, when I pull them over, give me a reason why they're the exception to the rule, why they're allowed to speed or tailgate or not use a turn signal or do something that's inherently dangerous? And the fact is, we're in the same kind of situation. We're all going through it. And it doesn't always make you feel better to understand, hey, I'm not the only one commiserating out here. I'm not the only one having to go through it. But understand that, yeah, it may be frustrating. Maybe you need to adjust something. You're not alone. We're all going through something. And we can all, in this particular situation, our caller had a great idea. He was able to bring it up. He was able to mention. He can go through those channels and say, hey, I have an issue with this. I'm not alone. What can we do to solve it?
Pearl Bell?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. This is a very common complaint, I think, from people, is traffic conditions due to road construction, due to, you know, systematic decisions that get made. And Fata's not alone when he thinks about that. But I think the piece that we have to reflect upon is that even though he's not alone, he is responsible for how he's driving. Because if he's going that same route every day and knows that about his traffic and says, okay, I know that this construction is going on for X amount of time, maybe I'll choose a different route, or maybe I'll leave myself extra time, or maybe I'll take 10 deep breaths before I turn on this corner. It is a tough situation, especially with all the growth in Colorado, that we're having to expand roads, do a lot to do construction. But we are also, yes, individually responsible for how we handle the situations that are in front of us.
And Cherry Creek has a similar situation, Fatah. So residents there are watching buildings get taller and taller, knowing that there will be more and more residents, and the streets are not being widened. They're already very, very narrow. So there are a lot of people there frustrated and concerned about what will happen in the future. And I heard you say that that's a bit of your concern as well, what will happen in the future. And having taken this to the council and expressed your views and encouraging others to do the same would make a lot of sense. Then what do you do about what might happen later? And it may be wise to deal with it when it comes rather than let your body be reacting to and being frustrated and angry by what might happen. So when it happens, then you'll have a chance to deal with it directly. And thank goodness you are a person of positive outlook so that you can take a positive perspective on whatever does come your way.
We're at 303-442-4242. Josh Lewis, a trooper from the Colorado State Patrol, I asked you at the start how big a problem road rage is. Statistically, do we know how many of the accidents that happen on Colorado roads are caused by road rage? Is it possible to know that?
It's really not as much as we would like to think so. You can look at, we have a breakdown of different causal factors. So the things that you would expect, driving under the influence, speeding, certain distractions. And unfortunately, we don't have that checkbox that says, okay, I was angry or they were angry. Well, it always comes down to some type of violation of law. There's no law saying you can't be angry. Go ahead and be angry. Just don't take it out when you're behind the wheel is what it comes down to. Is it a causal factor in and of itself? Absolutely, because like we mentioned before, that's when you start seeing the, well, I feel like you cut me off, therefore I'm going to cut you off, and we start getting the little bumps that turn into spin-outs, that turn into traffic jams for 3 hours on I-25 or elsewhere.
We got another caller. This is Teodoro from Westminster. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Doing good. I was listening to you guys talk, and I heard what Pearl was saying about anger, and I don't know if I get so much of road rage, but sometimes when I'm in a drive-thru at Starbucks, I get really, really frustrated when people mess up my order, and I get all heated up, and I want to throw my coffee, and I don't know what I should do when I get angry like this.
Okay, Teodoro, thanks for your call. Pearl, do you want to take that one?
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Theo, for your call. It starts with a simple process, I think. And as Trooper Lewis was saying, the first step is stop. So I really do believe taking a breath, doing whatever you can do to stop is a really important piece of that. The second step would be challenge or think. So think about the assumptions that you're making about the situation, whether it's road rage or you're in the Starbucks drive-thru, and then make a choice about what you're going to do to handle that. So we call that process stop, challenge, choose. And it really is a good, simple tool that you can remember to help yourself calm down in an instant. Stop everything that I'm doing, take a breath, challenge the assumptions of the situation. Maybe this person is driving fast because they're going to deliver a baby. Maybe I'm making up stories about them in my mind, right? Or maybe the barista is having a really, really bad day at Starbucks, and how can I be empathetic with what's going on? And then make a choice about how I want to handle that. And that's the piece that can be really critical, whether we're going to engage in the road rage and escalate the situation, or whether we're going to snap back at that Starbucks barista and say something that we might regret.
We're at 303-442-4242. We're going to let Trooper Josh Lewis get back on the road. We appreciate you joining with us. Any final comments?
Ultimately, it's your choice. We're out there and understand you can always contact us. We have resources available like our Star CSP program, Star 277 from any phone in the state of Colorado will take you to our local dispatch center. So if you see the aggressive and dangerous driving, you can report it. There's only about 500 of us. We're actually graduating 31 cadets today. So there's a few more of us out there on the road. But if you're our eyes and ears, by all means, please contact us. Let us know. If nothing else, there's a record made of it, and we can follow up. But it comes down to your choice, your decision, and sometimes it's the small ones that can make the biggest impact.
Now, do you get people doing Star 27 for someone who's going too slow in the left lane?
Star 277? Absolutely we do. Like I said, that's still one of our biggest complaints in terms of, hey, somebody's doing something wrong. Okay, we do our best to get out there and follow up on every single one of them.
Duly noted.
And what
Mary, go ahead.
What is the most useful *277 call. How does that help you when we're out there and we're wanting to be helpful? What is the call that really is helpful to you?
So ultimately, we're looking for information when you place that call. Our dispatcher will usually ask you, well, what kind of vehicle, make, model, your location, what is it doing, if you have a license plate. And we're not requesting you to follow that vehicle into a parking lot or anything. If you don't want to sign a complaint, that's fine. We do our best to find it without you there. But the more information you can give us, the better. And then we can also do that follow-up later on if we need to, say, go and visit a registered owner's home, let them know, send them letters. All of these are different options that we have within our kind of toolbox. But the more calls we get on it, obviously, the more likely we are to be able to find it and respond, react once we get those calls.
And do you, thank you for that. And do you have a sense that Colorado drivers, is there any way to compare us to drivers in other states? Are we pretty good out there, or do you have the sense that we could do a lot better?
You know, and I never want to rest on our laurels. If there's one thing that when I was in martial arts, that taught me was there's always somebody better and you can always improve yourself. Just when I thought I was great, somebody would come and kick me in the back of the head. The fact is, can we improve? Absolutely. Are we better than some states? It depends on what categories you're looking at. For me, anytime we have a fatal crash, to me, that's a failure. That's something that can be prevented. We can stop people from drinking and driving. We can get people to use their seatbelts. Don't think about, well, what can I legally do? What can I legally not do? Worry about what you should do. What is the safest aspect for you, for everybody in your vehicle, and the other vehicles around you?
Trooper Josh Lewis from the Colorado State Patrol, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, sir.
Coming up on 9 o'clock, you're in tune with listener-supported KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and around the world online at kgnu.org. It's our quarterly series of conflict resolution call-in programs. This morning, the challenges of anger and who is in control when anger erupts. If you have a question or comment, whether it's about road rage or any other topic related to those daily things that make us angry and how we handle it, we invite you to join our conversation at 303-442-4242, 303-442-4242. And Pearl Bell, let me pick up on this issue of, oh gosh, I was mad at the person at Starbucks because they screwed up my order. That is, I think, another point of daily anger. We're interacting with someone potentially in a retail situation or maybe it's some kind of customer service situation, and we're just getting irritated. How do we keep that from escalating into an angry confrontation?
Well,
Because I don't know if we can think like stop, challenge, choose in the moment, you know?
It's really hard in the moment, that's yeah. For sure. If the only piece you can stop and do is stop, I think that that's key, right? And just realizing that we are all individuals, we're all human, and we all can have a bad day. Empathy is really important in our society, and we need to be thinking about it from the other person's perspective. So what's that Starburst barista going through their head? You know, did they burn themselves this morning getting your drink ready? Have they already had two customers snap at them, and so you're the third one for the day, and how is that going to get your needs met? So, yeah, I mean, stopping is really the most important part. If you can just pause, I think Mary and I were having this conversation on the way over here. The best thing you can do is take a moment to stop and think. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a state trooper, whether you're an individual going through Starbucks, if you can just stop, take a breath, think, and buy yourself some time, that's really the most key point.
Now let's take another call. I think, hi caller, I didn't get your name, but you're on the air. I think your name is R, maybe?
Yes, it's R. Addison. Thank you.
Hey, R.
I drove a truck part-time for 33 years, which is really ludicrous because you don't get health care doing part-time, but that was the only way I could keep health care. So my comment is about over-the-road trucking, which is complementary to 5.5-day work week eight days of work week done in 5.5 days. And oftentimes, truckers do get into this kind of rage, and it's not good for them because they tend to eat sugar, fat, and salt. And what is really difficult is to be in a truck stop and see some of these guys come in without getting a rage at the weight they have, which is 300 and 400 pounds. So I'm wondering if there's some correlation between getting in a truck, being overweight, and road rage, and what can be done and what is recommended that can be done.
Interesting question, R, and thank you for that call. I think R is connecting maybe someone's health and certainly the long hours that truckers, over-the-road truckers, put in. And I guess I have not done that work, but I can certainly say if I'm feeling unhealthy and I've had a very long day, I am more prone to irritability and anger.
There are a lot of health issues around anger, and we might spend a few minutes talking about that. That your anger will actually threaten your life as far as coronary issues go. And, of course, being heavy will do the same thing. So you tend to stay in anger too much. You're not taking as good care of yourself as you might, and you're getting into altercations with other people. That doesn't sound like a very happy life. So what might you choose to make yourself more healthy and to have better relationships with other people in an ongoing way to keep your situation more healthy by choosing to take, it's like a kaleidoscope, you turn it and you get a different perspective, a different point of view. And how can you turn your life, given your vocation, given your workplace, or being on the road too many hours over 5 days' time, what can you do to change your perspective about the way you see things working for you so you're a happier person and then you will become perhaps a healthier person?
Yeah, Mary, I think you're really key on that. I also think that the ongoing stress of that lifestyle or any lifestyle that's under a lot of stress then puts us at a higher risk for becoming angry quicker. So if we have high stress situation day in, day out, our bandwidth gets really minimized and we're not able to then think through these processes, stop as quickly. We just are more apt to react. So finding ways, again, to try to alter that continued state of stress, do what you need to do to take care of yourself to get that stress level down so that you don't have the health issues that can be coming from anger.
Let's go to the phones again. This is Jimmy from Boulder. Hi, Jimmy. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. I think there's like some psychology that people can practice, and I call them taxonomies, where there's certain things that can be contributing to the problem. And if you know that in your mind, and we start practicing these in our mind, for instance, if there's a baby crying in a store and we really get mad, like if it's not our kid, as a parent, I have just decided like the taxonomy is the diaper needs to be changed, it's hungry, teething, tired, and I forget what the other one is. So I don't have to get mad personally at the kid. I can just go, well, that mother is maybe not seeing that taxonomy is being met. But on the case of a driver being angry, I come to it as a lot of environmental causes of our society, like it could be physical abuse, it could be a concussion, substance abuse, work stress, divorce, money stress. And if we can break down that in our thinking when we're being accosted by somebody, and it's really hard, like we said, how do you get to this point? How do we calm down our amygdala? I just think of it in terms of these taxonomies, and we practice them every day, you know, for 40 days, like just this list, physical abuse, the person might have substance abuse, then you can kind of give them more empathy instead of like, oh, I'm wrong, they're really pissed off at me, let's get into a fight. So I found that helps me to have this taxonomy that I go down the list.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Helpful comments. Mary?
Well, I hear you talking about empathy, and I suspect we've been talking about that or around that a lot this morning. That if you can put yourself in the other person's shoes, you feel less put upon somehow, that you maybe feel less threatened, that whatever's going on with this person is something if you can understand, and if it's an interpersonal piece, you might be able to listen to their story, to what's going on with them, and bring your anger down because of information you get. What could possibly be going on? Is it the baby who's someone else's responsibility? And what things could be going on, as you point out, Jimmy? Thank you for that.
And oh, sorry, go ahead, Pearl Bell.
Well, I was going to say, I think we're talking a lot about the mental aspect of this. What do you think in your brain? What do you do when you're angry? And Jimmy's bringing up a lot of the biology that happens, which is our amygdala does get hijacked by this chemistry that happens in our body. You know, over 33 different chemicals start being released when we start to get anxious and anger. So how do we deal with those chemicals? That can be a really, really important piece of cooling down in order to handle the situation better. So drinking water, breathing, getting oxygen in your system, doing some sort of exercise, something to start to burn all those chemicals can be a really important piece of the process of cooling down, to put yourself in a frame of mind where you can think and be empathetic, or you can stop and challenge and choose. Because if you don't handle those chemicals, and then you can continue to escalate.
And one of the aspects of this as a skill-building piece is, how familiar are you with what it feels like in your body when you get angry? Because those are signals. That's your body saying, hello, something's not right here. Something's not okay with me. And that's when you can stop and say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm getting sweaty, or my heart rate just went up, or I'm stressed in my neck, or whatever it is, your stomach hurts. Each of us has a physical aspect of getting angry. And when you're familiar with that, you know that's a signal that you need to deal with something. Even if you need to say to someone, I need to take a break. Here's, I don't know what I'm angry or upset about, but I can tell you physically, I'm not okay. Something just happened.
We're talking about anger this morning during this latest installment of our quarterly series on conflict resolution. Call-in shows we do every 3 months or so here on listener-supported KGNU. Inviting your calls, your questions, your comments at 303-442-4242. What made you angry in the past day? And how did you handle it? Maybe it was on the road. Maybe it was at a store or somewhere else. Share that with us, if you would. Call 303-442-4242. So you were talking about a kind of a biochemical, neurophysical reaction that happens. The amygdala that you referenced, I think, is the kind of the base part of the brain. Mm-hmm. And that's where what is sometimes called the fight or flight reflex comes from. Is that what you're talking about, Pearl?
Absolutely. It's a defense mechanism. So we've been talking a lot about anger, but it really is a natural, normal, healthy thing that happens to us. It's a protective mechanism. So it's just how we choose to handle that protective mechanism that can escalate and get out of control and turn into road rage, or de-escalate and we can handle it in a way that we can then make more rational, thoughtful, considerate, empathetic decisions to handle a conflict in a different way.
So I've come up with another road idea that I want to share with you. You may laugh out loud at this one, but I'm trying it out, and I encourage you to think about the possibility. I made up two signs in my car. Now, I wanted to mention this when Trooper Lewis was here, but his time is a little short. So one sign says, thank you, and it's on a little handle, like a paddle. And the other sign says, I'm sorry. Because I mess up on the road sometimes. So I'm trying out these two signs. When someone lets me in a lane, I happen to think Colorado drivers are pretty courteous. So I hold out my thank you sign, and it's gotten a couple of laughs so far. And so I think that maybe in that little way, as long as I'm not distracted from my driving, I get that part, that I'm saying, let's be kind to each other. And if I mess up, I hold out my I'm sorry sign. So it's a new wave that's going to take over Colorado and make us more empathetic and more friendly with one another.
You actually have these signs in your vehicle.
Do you hear, our dear listeners, the disbelief in Sam's voice? Yes, Sam, I do.
Because,
I
of course, I think, I agree with you about, the in general, the courtesy of Colorado drivers. And, you know, many of us do the little wave, right? Thanks for letting me in the lane. You know, I'm waving now, and you can see that. You're taking that to another level with the signage.
I am. Okay. I am, yes. And if you're out there and we get to meet, you'll know who it is. Apparently, I'm the only one so far.
Actually, I've heard a couple of stories about some other people with signs. I think that signs, and in the way you're describing them, is probably a very positive idea. I think that we also should be cautious with what we put on our signs that we might be putting out there to people. I've heard of stories of people putting, you know, some very inflammatory things about other drivers on their signs. I think if your signs are pointed at your driving and your reaction and your apology for taking ownership, then that's great. The second that we turn our signs on the other people and blame them or start to, that can really escalate, and then we'd end up in a in a road rage situation.
So people like have a sign that says jerk or something?
Yeah, right, exactly. What were you thinking? Exactly. Not about others, about yourself.
Let's take another call. This is Denise. Good morning, Denise. You're on the air.
Good morning. That made me want to share something that someone helped me out with. I had a long commute for years, and I would often get frustrated on the road. And he suggested I kind of look at other drivers with it and just say to myself, we are all driving to our enlightenment. We are all driving to, and, you know, I found it helpful. So, and then, you know, after years of commuting, I calmed down. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there with the humor piece.
That is a mantra to repeat.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks,
Denise. And it gives you some connection with other drivers. you know, we all are trying to get somewhere, and I'm always running late, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of got my empathy going, I guess.
So, Denise, how did that feel to you? What was the difference in before you did it and after you were using that?
You know, it was interesting because I think a certain amount of it was just after time, you just mellow out when you have a commute. I mean, hopefully, right? I did. In the beginning, I was like, oh, trying to make time or, you know, get the most efficient drive and way home. And then when someone would be going slower, like, you know, slower than the speed limit, what are they thinking? But I found that when I would do that, it was kind of like a relaxation practice in a way. I would, so before I might be kind of on the edge of my seat and looking for, you know, ways to get ahead or any opportunity. And then when I would use that mantra or whatever perspective, I felt more camaraderie with my fellow drivers versus, you know, defensiveness or kind of competition. So it kind of lowered the competitive thing. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
I mean, it would just totally relax, mm-hmm. you know, calm me down and make me see that, you know, getting home 2 minutes earlier. You know, that's the thing when you're speeding. I mean, I knew that in my 20s. You know, I could speed to try to get to work on time when I left late, and it would make a difference of 3 minutes, but it would, you know, increase the danger a lot, you know, to myself and others. So,
thanks, Denise. Yeah. I really think that you have some great, great feedback here too, because you're talking about the competition that happens on the road, and I think that there's a lot of insight in that. What we have is, you know, all this competition, but what would the world be like if we were more collaborative on the road? How can we all get to our place faster? Can we all get in this, merge into this one lane in the most efficient way? Can we all? I mean, what they show about driving, I think, and Trooper Lewis may have more details if he were here, but is that, you know, it's when we brake, then we cause this reaction that backs up and we start to get all these traffic things. But if we're thinking collaboratively, then how do we do that differently? I think it's really interesting to change our orientation from competition to collaboration.
We are all driving to our enlightenment. I will remember that next time someone cuts me off.
This is very good.
Yeah. Thanks, Denise. We're at 303-442-4242 if you'd like to join our conversation about how you handle anger in the moment, those daily things that upset us, whether it's driving or in our interactions, home, office, workplace, stores, etc. What made you angry in the past day or week, and how did you handle it? Share that with us. Share your strategies, as Denise just did, at 303-442-4242.
I have another question related to driving. And I believe that it relates to our larger capacity to understand the other person. I may be making too big a thing out of merging lanes. Because some people are of the opinion that when you see there's merging 200 yards down the way, you merge now. and you all get in one lane, and that right-hand lane then becomes empty. Let's say you're merging to the left. Okay. That right-hand lane becomes empty. Other people are thoroughly convinced, and not wrong or right, that you stay in the right lane until you get to the merge point. And I believe that this makes people very angry because they think it's an issue of values. Mm. And it's a different perspective. So when we're working with each other, as Pearl says, perhaps collaboratively, in all of our life misunderstandings, are you the person who says merge now or merge at the merge point? And how angry are you going to get about someone who doesn't agree with you on this point? It is also the which way does the toilet paper roll and when do you clean the lint filter in the dryer? These are not huge things. These are not enough to bring us to World War III. But we get angry and we get upset about these little things because it's a difference of opinion. It simply is not right or wrong, but it really is a difference of opinion.
303-442-4242 again is the number to call. We have time to take a couple more calls here in the last 15 minutes of our program. We're with Pearl Bell from the Conflict Center and Mary Zinn of Zinn Mediation Associates, and we invite your contributions to the conversation. What about, Pearl, if you let your anger come out and then it starts to escalate, and at that point it seems to get harder to rein it in, to stop, challenge, and choose.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's when the chemicals start going, right? So it does get harder. We start escalating, and if you would, we are in an elevator, and we're going up and up and up and up to the 50th floor, to the 100th floor, and how do we then choose to get off of that? It really is about the being able, one, to burn chemicals, so we talked about some strategies to do that, but you could also, the silent scream in the car, I think, is always a fun one. Maybe you could actually scream out loud, and your neighbors, like you said, would get a chuckle. Laughing, of course, I think brings us down and helps us bring down. So if you can find the humor in the situation, that's always a good one. Laughing at yourself and not at others being the key part of that. And then I think also, as you're on your way up that elevator, if you would, like, how do you recognize what other emotions you're having? So we talk about anger as one emotion, but sometimes it's really based on other things, like fear. Like, I'm really, really scared on the road. Somebody just cut me off. I thought I was going to, crash. And so that fear gets going, and that's our protective emotion. So recognizing that can start to say, oh, I'm not really angry. I was just afraid for a moment. Now how do I handle my fear? Okay, I'm safe now. There's nothing that's threatening me. And then moving down from there.
Let's go back to the phones. Tara from Lafayette is on the air. Hi, Tara.
Hello. I'm so glad to hear this conversation. Thank you very much. One of the situations I found brings out my anger is to be stuck behind somebody who is going slower than I want to go. And it's usually at a time when I feel like my needs are very high to get somewhere quickly. And one way that I've learned to work with this, when it isn't safe to pass or go another way, is to think to myself, well, maybe if I were to go quicker, I'd be in a car accident, and that this person is actually an angel protecting me from being in a bad situation in the future. So that has really diffused a lot of my anger in using that technique, and I just wanted to share that along with all the other good things you've been sharing.
We appreciate that, Tara. Thank you very much. Actually, the driver who is slowing you down may be making you safer.
Or the person in the grocery line.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person who's causing you some inconvenience is keeping you from being somewhere that would not be in your own best interest.
Let's take another call. This is Jim from Boulder. Hi, Jim. What's your question or comment?
Hey, I have a friend named Dave who says if I'm in a car with him and there's someone else who's, like, cutting around or right on a bumper or something, he says, oh, that person's more important than us, or more important than me. And it goes together with if we're going to hike or cross-country ski and someone's right on our tail going up one of the canyons, he pulls over as soon as he can, safely, sort of to let people pass if some people want to drive faster. So it's partly sarcastic, but it's also de-escalating to say, well, that person's more important. They're in a hurry. They're cutting or they're racing or speeding or going over the yellow line. So it's sort of, I guess it's partly saying we don't have to get involved in the competition here. I don't really know what it is, but yeah, it seems to work a little, and I try it. Another thing I've heard on the radio, and maybe it was already today mentioned, was, you know, to take a few breaths if somebody's honking or giving people the fingers or what, or just rushing. And I guess that's it. And in final, if you are in an argument with a coworker or a coworker wants to vent or have a tantrum, is it better to just walk away, or is it better to interact just so they feel you're not a stone or feeling superior to them?
That's a really good question, Jim. Thank you for that, and we'll hear from Pearl and Mary on it. So you're in a, you know, you have a this coworker who's got some issues they want to share with you, but it's going to escalate. Should you walk away, or should you? Because that could be interpreted as a snub, or I don't care about how you feel.
Yeah, I think it depends on the your state of mind at the moment. Like, if you can hear what they have to say, and you can think and listen, I think you should absolutely stay in that conversation to try to get their needs met as well as your needs met. If we walk away at that moment, we may or may not be able to advocate for our needs, and I think that's important. But if we're not in a state of mind, if we are elevated, if we are angry, taking a moment, walking away, taking a break and saying, can I have 10 minutes just to think about what we've been talking about? Can I have a day to think about what I've been talking about? Can I have some time and come back to you and not let this go, because I'm not avoiding this, but I want to come back to you thoughtfully and not when I'm feeling so angry.
So we have to figure out what to do with that anger without letting it escalate between two people. And listening is something that perhaps we could talk about a little more today in anger situations. If someone comes at you and they're really angry, don't you want to know what they're angry about? What's going on with them? A little bit curious, you know, maybe I have no idea why this person is angry with me. So you might say, tell me more about that. At the same time that you'll get better information, that person will de-escalate because they will be shocked and surprised to hear you say, tell me more about that. And I don't mean it sarcastically. I really mean it in a curious way. How can you solve a problem if you don't know what it is? So that person has the information to share with you, so you then you can take it on.
I think Mary's absolutely right. The more we listen to people, the more they calm down. Because a lot of times the anger is just needing to be heard. So if you can listen to somebody and just say, okay, tell me more, or wow, I think you might be feeling a little frightened or hurt or whatever, how are you feeling about that? And tell me more, and why could that be happening? Because that listening and validation of the way that they're feeling can go a long way towards cooling off.
But I think I also heard you say if they're looking for an answer or advice, it's okay to say, let me think about that and let me get back to you. And then you, of course, really have to get back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Following up is really important. Let's just not leave them hanging.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we wind down here, Mary Zinn, next month, October, is Conflict Resolution Month in Colorado. Can you tell us about the purpose of that, and also perhaps if people want more information or want to engage, how they might do that?
Sure, I'd be so happy to. Okay, it is October in Colorado, almost, and that means it is Conflict Resolution Month in our state. And we are one of two states that celebrates a whole month of conflict resolution awareness, you might say. What we're wanting to do during that time is step up our education, our learning, our employing methods that are collaborative, trying to figure out ways to successfully problem solve with others, whether it's your community or individuals in your life. So we have resources available and lots of activities across the state of Colorado. And you can find that information on the website conflictresolutionmonth.org. And we would hope that you become engaged in some of the activities and events that are going on. There are two large conferences. One is October 7th, the other is October 14th, one in Denver and one in Colorado Springs. There are lots of opportunities to be paying attention to how we can become the most civil state in the nation. Okay, big goal. We can do it. This is who we are. Colorado has a better chance at it than anybody else. This is our belief, and then we could be replicated in other states. We can find nonviolent ways to solve problems. So the people who are all volunteers who have brought together a campaign for Conflict Resolution Month in Colorado hope that you'll become engaged and make your life more satisfying and more peaceful.
And Pearl Bell, anything more, any special events or opportunities at the Conflict Center in relation to this?
Well, one of the little projects that we're working on with Mary for Conflict Resolution Month is the Little Library Project. So there's little libraries, I'm sure, maybe in your neighborhood or around on the block, the little bookshelves that are there, and you take a book, leave a book kind of thing. And the Conflict Center is donating several of our library resources to the Take a Book, Leave a Book Little Library Project. So we also have a great library at the Conflict Center, so feel free to come by. It's open to the public. Check out some books on anger, on conflict, on parenting, on relationships, and you can search our library on conflictcenter.org and just see what kind of titles we have.
You know, before we close, Mary, I want to offer my condolences to you and to Pearl and to the entire sort of family of people involved in conflict resolution on the passing of Elizabeth Loescher, who died Sunday, I believe. She was a guest on this program several times, most recently, I believe, within the past year when we discussed issues of race and conflict around race. And if you're able, share a little bit about Liz Loescher for our audience.
Well, Elizabeth Loescher was an
Let me bring your mic up a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth Loescher founded the Conflict Center here in Denver and another one in Athens, Georgia. And the Conflict Center really is unique, I believe, in educating people about conflict management, anger management, what to do in a practical way. And she wrote the first school curriculum on conflict management in the nation. So we still use that curriculum today. That's right, Pearl, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Peacemaking Made Practical, and we use it in K-8 schools.
So she would encourage us all to be better conflict managers. And her litmus test for that, I'll share with our listeners, was to look at your methods for solving problems in two ways and bring them together. Solve the problem and build the relationship. And she was a power to be reckoned with. She educated thousands and thousands of people. And again, it's Elizabeth Loescher, L-O-E-S-C-H-E-R. And if you'd like to learn more about her and her impact nationally and in Colorado, please go to her Facebook or Zen Mediation's website, zenmediation.com, has her background a little bit. But people are thanking her, are talking about her. We have lost a great visionary and leader. And now Elizabeth Loescher would say, keep up the work. This is not your opportunity to lay off. This is your opportunity to step up.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Zinn of Zinn Mediation Associates, my co-host and co-producer for these quarterly series of programs on conflict resolution. Pearl Bell from the Conflict Center, look them up. They have resources, whether it's books or face-to-face teaching and workshops. The Conflict Center, located in Northwest Denver. It's coming up on 9:30. Our day of eclectic music begins with the morning sound alternative. That, of course, segues into the afternoon sound alternative. You have a full day of eclectic music coming your way on listener-supported KGNU right after this.
Now you can be good to it by donating it to KGNU. We'll use a vehicle to raise funds for the great programs you listen to and rely on regularly. Put your old wanted vehicle into good hands by calling 844-KGNU-CAR. That's KGNU.org or call 844-KGNU-CAR. Thank you for thinking of KGNU.
Thank you. yourself alone, or if what you're carrying is getting awful heavy, or if you're far from home, well, just see.
Follow me down every street, no matter.